Okay, good evening, everybody. It is so nice to see everybody. A pleasure to be learning together on this beautiful Thursday evening. Just a scheduling note before we begin. And next Thursday night, we will go back to Thursday Night Live, which will be, a fascinating and applicable and inspiring shiur on Tashlich. We'll discuss the minog in communities in Africa where they actually jumped into the river to get rid of their sins. Well, don't try that this year. But we'll learn all about Tashlich. That'll be next Thursday night. And the plan moving forward is going to be to alternate Thursday nights between Thursday Night Live and the shiur on Chassidus for now. And we'll see where that goes. Tonight's shiur has been generously sponsored by Srili and Lisa Herkman and family. Lezechar Nishmas, Srili's maternal grandparents, Yitzchak ben Tzvia Cohen and Rivka ben Tzvi. I never met them, but those who know Srili know they were undoubtedly incredibly, just incredible people, full of chesed and ruach. I know Shirley's mother for a long time, and she's full of ruach and full of chesed. That's where Shirley gets it from, and I'm sure she gets it from her family. And the shir tonight should bring an ilui to their neshama. Tonight, we're going to enter into the world of Radomsk. Now, many people here probably never heard of Radomsk. Radomsk Chassidim. What's wild, and I didn't know this until recently, was that before the war, before the Holocaust, they were of the three largest, the big three, largest sects of Hasidim. I think today, if I would ask most people in the room, what was the biggest Hasidus before the war, people are going to say Satmar, Skver, Vizhnitz, Belz. None of those were in the big three. It was Ger, Alexander, and Radomsk. Those were the, not Chabad. Those are the three biggest sects of Hasidim before the war. The Tiferes Shlomo, which is this sefer we're going to learn from, it's Shlomo HaKohen Rabinovitz, who was born in 1801, passed away in 1866. He, his son who followed him, and his grandson who followed him, was the third Rebbe, all died very young from diabetes before insulin. His great-grandson became the Rebbe and would have probably lived a longer life because it was already insulin, but he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And just about the entire, this is the original Rebbe. This sefer was printed in 1867, a year after he passed away. He passed away in 1866. The entire Hasidus basically was wiped out in the war. His great-grandson, who was the last Rebbe, was unique. He was a very wealthy businessman. He had glass factories, and he started a network of yeshivas. By the Hasidim, they didn't have yeshivas. In whatever town, you would go to the Beis Medrash, and you would learn until you went to work. He instituted yeshivas, the Keser Torah yeshivas. In 1939, there were 36 such yeshivas, which had 4,000 students. That was just Radomsk Hasidim. In Yeshiva Katana and Yeshiva 4,000 Talmidim, just as a point of reference, and a lot of this information I got from a podcast on Jewish History Soundbites of Yehuda Geberer, there, in all of the yeshivas in Lithuania, there were less than 4,000 Talmidim. In all of like the great yeshivas that we know about, that we've heard about, in just Radomsk, just students in the yeshiva, there were 4,000 Talmidim, and just about everyone was killed. One chassid who survived, who escaped, was a Rav in Manhattan named Haskel Besser. I don't know if everyone heard of Haskel Besser. He was a prominent activist and Rav at a shtibul in the Upper West Side. I had read this book years ago. A student of mine lived in the city. We went there for Shabbos, and I was just reading this book, and it was fascinating. He was a Radomsker chassid and brought some of the Nagunim. They're known for Nagunim. The Rebbe's philosophy, this was a little bit easier because they're very wealthy, was to take care of all the needs of the Hasidim. The network of yeshivas, there was no tuition. The Rebbe footed the entire bill. Don't get any ideas. Come September, I'm not paying your kids' tuition. It's hard enough to pay my own kids' tuition. But he felt that the role of a Rebbe is not, they felt, not just to elevate the spiritual needs, but to take care of all the physical needs of the Hasidim, which is really What? There are a lot of chumras also, by the way. But, you know, it's like people on Pesach, everyone wants to be smarty, but you wake up tomorrow morning for slicha. So, you know, it's a tough trade-off. Anyway, so that's the world of Radomsk. There's certainly a lot more to say, but it's one of the classics. He was the Tiferet Shlomo was the go-to, one of the go-to rebbes in the Poland, the Polish Hasidus. So we're going to learn a piece from here, which I think is very instructive about Judaism in general. And it's, I think, a classic thought in the Sifrei Chassidus. And then it's also the message he's going to give about this particular mitzvah is also very important. So if you take a look, again, there's no source sheets, just the pasuk and the piece that we'll learn together. The beginning of the parsha is all about Bikurim, bringing the first fruits. You bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim. The psukim that you read, it's called Mikra Bikurim, it's two mitzvahs, maybe Bikurim, to bring the Bikurim. It's a great ceremony when you bring the first of your fruits. Hakar Satov, gratitude, a very powerful mitzvah. The last pasuk in that parsha, in that section discussing Bikurim, writes, it's pasuk Yud Aleph, V'samachta b'chol atov, excuse me, Asher nasan l'cha Hashem l'kacha u'l'veisecha. You should be happy b'chol atov, all the good which God has given you and your house, atov, aleviv, ager, asher v'kerbech, everyone who's in your vicinity, all the Klai Yisrael, even Levim, all have to bring Bikurim. Samachta b'chol atov. You should be happy with all the good. Says the Tiferet Shlomo, turn the page. You have the cover page of the Sefer, or the inside page. I just put it here so you could get a sense. And then you have the piece where the arrow is, v'samachta b'chol atov. And he starts, it says on top, Tafresh Mem Beis. It's the second paragraph where the arrow is. Is there an arrow there? I don't mind. There's an arrow. Okay. And he tells us such an incredible idea, which I don't think is focused on nearly enough in yeshivas and in Jewish life in general. He says, Hine Azor HaKadosh, he quotes a Zohar, who kore laha mitzvah. The Zohar refers to mitzvos as pikude oraisa. Atin. The laws of the Torah are atin. What's atin? It means advice. Mitzvos, says the Zohar, are called advice. What does that mean? He explains. Who? What it means is as follows. Ki amnam b'chol mitzvah u'mitzvah yesh ba'etzos u'drachim eicha lahagia el avodas habore. Every mitzvah has a specific piece of advice, or a way, a path, to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think we know that intuitively. A mitzvah is not just an action to do. Every mitzvah is trying to get us closer to Hashem in some way or the other. And he says, Mimenu, Yisayeya la'avas Hashem Yisbarach, u'dveikuso u'lirasal kol yamim. Through that, it will help us come to a love of Hashem, to cling to Hashem, and to fear Hashem all of our days. That's the goal of mitzvahs. It's an eitzah. It's a piece of advice. It doesn't mean advice like, it's okay. Hold your advice today. It doesn't mean that. They're commandments, but the goal, the role of these commandments are advice. And he gives examples. Kamo, sheyesh b'mitzvahs tzitzitz. We know, what's tzitzitz there for? That one's clear. It's in the Torah. To remind us of? Mitzvahs, or more precisely, kamo, sheyesh b'mitzvahs tzitzitz, siyuah v'segula. There's a helping, there's an element, velosa suru achre levavchem v'achre neichem, kamavur b'pasuk. The pasuk says, you were at tzitzis, and then in that parasha is velosa suru achre levavchem. When you think of the tzitzis, that reminds you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that keeps our eyes, our focus in one place. So the goal or the role of tzitzis is to help us not stray after that which we shouldn't stray after. B'mitzvah tefillin, the Torah says, l'man tiyat Torah Hashem b'ficha. Tefillin is, so that the Torah, okay, we could discuss that at length, how tefillin does that. Not for tonight. The Torah, though, tells us, leman, the point of tefillin is in order, so the Torah of Hashem should be in our mouth. V'chadome b'shar ha-mitzvos kamavuar l'chol mevakshei Hashem. Every mitzvah. And I think it's fascinating, we can really stop here, is to think about, in what way are the mitzvahs that we perform bringing us closer to Hashem, or more precisely, in what way are they attaching us or helping us in some aspect to a mitzvah. So tefillah, I think we understand, but we do a lot of mitzvos. Mezuzah, every single person here who has a house has a lot of mezuzahs. In what way is mezuzah getting? No, yes, we know mezuzah is a shmirah, but in what way is? And I don't have the answer to this question. I started thinking about it now. Do I think about mezuzah on a day-to-day basis? No, except for the person who asked me today who could check mezuzahs for them. How does mezuzahs bring me closer to Hashem? Every mitzvah, it's tzedakah. We give tzedakah, we put a dollar in the pushka. That's supposed to be a derech, a way to bring us to a greater... And every mitzvah and any mevakshei Hashem, those who are searching out Hashem, have to think about how every mitzvah we do and perform is attaching us or angling us towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This idea that mitzvos, our advice, our etzos, are found elsewhere. There's a pasuk in Tehillim in Parakuf Yud Tes 119 that says, "Gam edosecha shashuai, your laws are my delight. Anche atzasi, they're my intimate companions. They're anche atzasi etza. Your laws, Hashem, your laws are my delight. They're my companions. A companion develops the person. It's a relationship." There's a Rambam. There's an unbelievable Rambam in the end of Temura. My good friend Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg pointed out this Rambam to me. He says, listen to this. The rov dine Torah, the majority of laws in the Torah, einan ella etzos merachok, their advice from afar, mi gidol ha'etza, from the greatest advisor, namely Hashem. Most of the dine Torah are just advice for us, l'sakein hadeos, to fix, to rectify our thought process, u'liyasher kol ha'maisim, to straighten our actions so we can be just and moral. We see people who are, so to speak, learning and froim and doing mitzvahs and don't have proper deos and maisim. They're missing the point. Every majority of the dine Torah are etzos. Their advice, their tricks is the wrong word. Their tricks, their tools to help us get to Hashem. That's the yisod of the Tiferet Shlomo based on the Zohar. Mitzvahs are called Atin or Atin, which are Eitzos. Their advice, every mitzvah has an angle, a thing to get us closer to Hashem. He says, V'hine, it's this four lines from the end of the paragraph. V'hine kein b'mitzvah hazos, mitzvah bikurim. The same thing is true in this mitzvah. What's the Eitzah of bikurim? Yesh be'inyan limud, lemidas histapkus. What's histapkus? To be content, to be happy, to be okay with what we have. Bechol davar lios sameach bechalko. Kimosh amru ezehu asher, he who is wealthy is the one who is happy with his lot of sameach bechalko. Says that the Tiferet Shlomo, the Eitzah, the role of Bikurim, of bringing the first fruits, is to recognize, to be happy, to be sameach, to be content with anything that we have. And he goes on to explain, v'hinei yesh shnei bechinos, Bashefa haba lo adam. There's two aspects to anything that comes from Hashem. Shefa is a pouring, a gift from Hashem. Yesh haba lo misitra de kedusha. There's something that comes from something positive. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vehu tamid b'shleimus. That's complete. Kimo shenu omer mebirchas hamazon. What do we say in benching? Ki im liyadcha hamaleya hapasucha HaKadosha V'Archav Hashem, we want what we have from you to be from you, from your hand, from your full, open, and holy hand. Hainu, Kisha Shefa Ba Me'akadusha, Umaleya Lo Techzar Koba. When that gift comes from Hashem, it comes from a place of Kedusha, we're not missing anything. V'zehu Malei Birkas Hashem, we're full with the Brach of Hashem. Masbia l'chol chai ratzon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu satiates everyone. Ki kishabah me'akadusha, hine nisba haratzon, ve'en chasar lo od. Says the Tiferet Shlomo, when we're satiated from God, we're not missing anything. What are we missing? When that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not missing anything. V'zeh birchas hazan, the first bracha of benching, uv'tuvo ha'gadol tamid, Lo chasar lanu, v'al yechsar lanu. We're not missing anything. When God sustains us, when we feel that hand of God, that we've all experienced that at some point in our life, or we just can't understand why we got this gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it almost like feels like it falls from Shemayim. We're satiated. We don't feel like we're missing. It's not, we don't need more. We're not looking for another. Oh God, you know, give me one more deal. We're so ecstatic because it's coming from Hashem. There's an automatic feeling of lo chaser, that we're not missing anything. Kishabami tuvo agado in chaser klum. Uluzem misayim kamur posech hasidach. Fine. V'zeh gam kein v'chol tov ayichasreinu. In all of benching, we keep on saying ayichasreinu. We're not missing anything. We're not missing anything. Kishaba on the top of the next column, b'mechinas kol tuv, yichud shalmaila, hinei hakol malei shum chisaron. When that which comes from Hashem, we're full, we're satiated, we don't feel like we're missing anything. Ulehepech on the opposite, b'hashpa misitra achra chas v'shalom, nikreis tsemeya. When we have some kind of shefa, which doesn't come from a place of kedusha, and it's hard to discern exactly when someone's coming from kedusha or not, when we gain something that's not coming from kedusha, it's tsmeya. Tsmeya is thirsty. We're still thirsty. Kimish yesh lo mane, wrote some asayim, Chazal say. The person who has 100, really? He wants 200. And he's never satiated. I need another deal. Another. I need more. It's because when the shefa from Hashem is not coming from a place of kedusha, we keep on wanting more because we're tzmeya. We're thirsty. We're not full. Whatever you have, you want more. You want more. You want more. And he says, "V'zeh shahaya inyan mitzas habikurim." The bikurim is, no matter how much you have, you take of your first fruits and you bring them to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you bring them to Yerushalayim, I'm good. I have what I need. He says that's the midah of histapkus. The midah of the mitzvah of bikurim is to help us understand and recognize that when what we have comes from Hashem, we have exactly what we need. He goes on to say, and I think this is so important, that the same thing is true in our Avodas Hashem. I think from my years teaching, one of the things that has consistently hurt students' growth, and this is true already in 11th and 12th grade in high school, but certainly when they go to Israel, you see this in yeshiva, you see this in college, I think you see this until people give up a little bit in life, is that they're looking at the person who's doing better than they are. Now, that's obviously true when it comes to material possessions. The person is always looking over their shoulder and seeing what the other person is driving, or the house they have, or the job they have. That person is never happy. The same thing is true in Avodas Hashem as well. This person learns better. Why can't I daven like this person? Why can't I learn like this person? Why can't I do mitzvahs like this person? He's so passionate. He's so enthusiastic. He's so lebedik. He's so, you know, full of kedusha, and I'm not. And it often breaks a person. He says that this midah of histapkus, of being happy what you have, also applies to Avodas Hashem. Now, it doesn't mean we should be content. He's going to explain. It doesn't mean we should be content. We still want to grow. But there has to be a simcha, a happiness of where I am. He says, "V'hinei kein hu binyani tzarchei olam hazeh hashleimus amidas hastapkus." The same thing is true with matters in this world. V'cheinu gam kein binyani avodas Hashem yisbarach baruchu b'chinas hashleimus v'stapkus. We have this same idea of being shalem and being content in our service of Hashem. Hainu sheyistapik adam b'mashach chanin lo elokim b'chachma bina v'das. The same way that God gave a person parnasa, the same way that God gave a person children, and the same way that God gave us everything that we have, and we have to be content and happy and besimcha of what we have, the same thing is true with our religious identity as well. Because Baruch Hu gave certain people more chachma, more wisdom, more understanding, more of a spiritual intuition or feel. Some people, a person can work at it, but God made every person the way they needed to be. And he says that we have to have that same feeling. V'yira lehistakel ba'atzmo tamid ulupakeach al kol derach. We have to look at ourselves. V'lo yisomer b'levavo lemor lalos b'malos hagadolam. Oh, that person davened so well. That person, if I could only be like that person. If I could only... No, the mitzvah of Bikurim is helping us get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, with exactly what we have. What we have physically and what we have spiritually as well. And this, I think, is an important point. It's a big machlokas. The Sfas Emes says this as well, that in the Mishnah of Ezehu Ashir, Hasameach Bechelko, some explain that's only true when it comes to physical matters. But when it comes to spiritual matters, don't be happy with what you have. Always be pushing and striving. And what he's saying in the Sfas Emes, so Kina Sofer Marba Chachma, you have to know exactly when is it Kina Sofer Marba Chachma. What that means is that when people who are learning have a certain jealousy, so then that adds to Chachma, because you could push harder. So if it's going to lead to something practical, I think that's the way the Sfas Emes, or those who explain the Sfas Emes, say that if it's going to lead to something practical, if it's going to push you to learn more, that's better. But often it doesn't. The Sfas Emes says, Ezu Ashir HaSameach B'chelko is even in your Ruchnius. Now, it's a very hard line, because then you could become stagnant and never grow if you're happy with what you have. It could be self-motivated. But if we're going to look at the other person and say, that person's Shmon Esrei, that person's learning, the way he learns the daf or routine, we have to start off by being happy with what we have. If we're happy with what we have, he says, we're not going to read the whole thing, he says, if we could think, Shloah Sani Gai, Shloah Sani Ebed, Shloah Sani Isha, that I'm a Yid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me a Yid, and made exactly what I need, he says, that person can start to really know who he is and get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. Otherwise, we don't know who we are. We know I'm not that person. I'm not as good as that person. Okay, maybe I'm a little bit better than the person behind me. We don't know who we are, and then we can't really get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the bottom paragraph over here, he points out, very interestingly, B'shvil zeh ha'inyan, omrim b'parshas bikurim, arami oved avi. Part of the psukim we read in Bikurim is we talk about arami oved avi. We talk about our past. V'chein b'hagadah, and Haggadah Pesach, maschil b'gnus, u'messayim b'shvach, we talk about Lavan. Mitchil ov de'avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Our fathers were idol worshippers. Shezem mora lanu litein toda l'Hashem, al chelko ha'yisraeli asher both. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu just for making us Jewish. V'asher zachal iskari v'avodosel yisbarach shemo. Start with that. Start with, I'm thanking Hashem for who I am.
First base.
Yeah. If you miss first base, you're out. Even if you cross home plate. We have to start. Yes, I'm a Yid. I'm coming to Rosh Hashanah. Hayom haras olam im kabanim. I am a ben melech. I am the son of Hashem. Shaloh asani goy. Shaloh asani eved. Shaloh. Those are all praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for who I am. We have to start, says the Tefer Shlomo. That's the Eitzah, the advice of Bikurim, to be thankful with what we have. It's true in the physical realm, and I think we, at this older, mature point in our life, we understand that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us exactly what we need. But certainly, in the spiritual realm as well, to start like building, I'm a Yid. I'm going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I'm Jewish. And then I'm going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I have this Midah. And be happy with the Midah that we have. Halvai Yashlim Chelko Lefi HaRoi Lo Lefnei Hashem Yisbarach, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us our chelak, and he concludes, V'zehu perish v'samachta b'chalatov. What does it mean, v'samachta b'chalatov? She'yeh lecha simcha umidas ha'estapkus ki'ilu hayeh lecha kol hatov v'shleimus b'olam hazeh. V'samachta b'chol hatov. You should be happy with all the good. All the good? I don't have all the good. There are things that I don't have. Why am I happy? Be happy with what you have. You should have said, v'samachta with what you have. V'samachta b'chol hatov. You should have simcha as if you have every single thing in the world. That's how we should feel. We should feel when we go home and we look at our children and we just look at our house and look at our Hashem. There is nothing that I am missing. Midas ha'estapkus tells me that whatever I have is what exactly I need. And if I don't have it, it's a sign that I don't need it. The reason why you could have a samachta b'chol tov is because asher nasan lecha Hashem lokecha, because that's what God gave you. Ba lecha me'akedusha me'Hashem mishefal yona. If it comes from the holiness, so we'll be the samachta b'chol tov. Kein binyane ha'abdus v'samachta ki hu asher nasan lecha Hashem lokecha ein lahar achrab. So too in our avodas Hashem, it's what Hashem gave us. I think. If we work on this, if we focus on what we have, if we focus on what we have rather than what we're not doing great, it's a way, A, to come to a real recognition of who we are, and that's another way to come ahead and do tshuva before Hashana. Not just to focus on what we're not doing well, but to focus on what we're doing well. I remember when I was in yeshiva, they told us to do a cheshbon nefesh. Take a piece of paper and write down the things we're not doing great we could work on. So I sat down, I ended up with like a 300-page notebook, and it was very depressing. I was broken. I was completely broken because I was thinking of all the things I'm not doing great. Now hopefully it'll be a few pages less, but certainly, and I remember when my Rebbe said, no, you need to fold the paper in half and start with all the things you're doing well, and then you could write down the things that you're not doing well. In fact, Rav Kook writes in Ein Hayah, on his Sefer Nagarata, that same way a person needs to do vidui avonos, right? He said a person should do vidui hamitzvos. A person should think about, talk about, express, articulate the mitzvos that they're doing. One of his talmidim, I should have brought it, one of his talmidim put together ashanu bagadnu for mitzvos. Ahavnu, I've loved. Bachinu, we've cried. We've cried with other friends. Gamalnu chesed. I did chesed. What? Yeah, lamdein will be lamed. Debarnu tov. A whole olive through tough. Vidui hamitzvos. We have to also recognize what we're doing good, and to be mistapik, to be content, to be happy with what we're doing. And if we could do that for in yoni ruchnius, for spiritual matters, and then for physical matters as well, then v'samachta b'chol tov. Whatever we have will be so full of simcha and akar satov, gratitude to Hashem, and through that we'll be able to come closer to Him. Shkoch. Yes, yeah.